You may be seated. As we continue this series on overcoming fear, the Lord put on my heart this week to share with you on being vulnerable. Believe it or not, being vulnerable and the fear that comes along with not being able to be vulnerable. Because there is a genuine fear against that. And we're going to see why being vulnerable is so, so important to the heart of God. 1 John 4:18, our theme verse, there is no fear in love. Right off the bat, to allow someone to love you, you've got to be vulnerable. To love somebody, you've got to be vulnerable. To share that part of your heart with. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And as we kind of shared last week, fear itself comes from not knowing the outcome of something, the end result, the unknown. How many of us struggle, who've had heart wounds in the past, struggle to let somebody in our heart into that tender, special, delicate place, because when we have in the past, knives have felt like you've gone through it. But in order to do that, to let love be perfect the way God wants it to be, in a blessed relationship, we have to be vulnerable, even if we don't know what tomorrow may bring. One of the biggest struggles I had with my wife was I was so devastated when my first marriage fell apart that I made a very lousy inner vow that I will never love again this way. I will never allow anyone to be loved by me to this extent. This is what I told myself. So it took the first couple of years of our marriage for me to grow in the trust to open more and more of that inner core of my heart and be more vulnerable and transparent to her. Man, she'll tell you, our first 6 months of marriage, she was ready to kill me because I would clam up and I would have a hard time showing the delicate part. If I ever felt emotionally and intimately threatened, I shut down. All the walls go back up. And my mouth shuts up. And it's taken time for letting the Lord heal those wounds in His loving way to allow her in. But see, the cool thing is, anything that God does this way, He's already done this way. And what I mean by that is, as this was happening between me and my wife, this was opening up even more. Because the union between a man and wife is connected to the union that God has with His bride, Christ has with His bride, the church. So the more I was vulnerable with her, that much more I was vulnerable with God. And I'm becoming vulnerable with God to allow Him to move and speak and touch the deepest places of my heart. Not saying I've got it together yet. Not saying there aren't dark corners that I'm still working through with the Lord. But He's getting closer and closer every day. So fear itself is not knowing what's going to happen, the outcome. But it goes back to what we talked about for week one. It's knowing who I am, my identity in Christ, and being secure in that knowledge of knowing who I am and whose I am, and whose I am is not going to hurt me. It's okay. He only wants to strengthen and love the deepest part of who I am, who you are. The world has taught us not to let anyone in. Now, I'm going to preface everything by saying this. Your heart is precious. That special place in your heart is a precious, precious jewel. And you do not cast that jewel to swine. Not everybody deserves the most precious part of your heart. The one who deserves it the most is God, opening it up to Him. But you don't cast your pearls before swine. You don't give your heart to anyone you meet on the street or the first person you meet. You know, you get into a relationship and after 2 weeks, oh, I'm in love. They're the love of my life. So you pour it all out. Wrong. They haven't earned it. That precious part of your heart is earned. Christ earned that part of my heart. Because while I was yet sinner, He gave everything for me and died for me and loved me. And what we're going to see here is He was already vulnerable to me before I ever was vulnerable to Him. The definition of being vulnerable in the dictionary says, capable or susceptible of being wounded or hurt. Open to moral attack, criticism, temptation. Open to assault, difficult to defend. That's not a very promising, encouraging definition, right? But see, the wisdom of the world is not the heart of God sometimes. The world says, don't open up your heart. You're only going to get it hurt. God says, open up your heart and let me heal what's already been hurt and take you to another place. I'm not opening up my heart so that God would hurt me because God's not going to hurt me. Now, I've laid blame to God for things and accused Him of hurting me for things that I put myself in. But God never put me in those positions to hurt me. Just like He never puts us in a position to fail, only to succeed. Because He's equipped us and empowered us to overcome. See, to be vulnerable is to be willing to take a chance, to take a risk. To be vulnerable is taking a risk with the most special and sensitive and precious part of our hearts. Be willing to reveal our true emotions, our true self to the one who's worthy of it. And what you're doing is you're putting your heart out there. You're putting your heart completely there at the table and you're saying, God, I'm trusting You with this. I'm laying it before You. That Lord, no matter how You lead me in this, that You've given me what I need to succeed and to not be hurt. Now that doesn't mean people aren't going to try to hurt us. It just means that the flaming arrows of the enemy will be knocked down by my shield of faith, as in Ephesians. Okay? That means I've got the armor of God. He's given me His armor. That when I go and stand in that battle, completely naked emotionally and spiritually, trusting Him, that whether I expect the arrows to come or not, my shield of faith is always ready. Because people are going to try to hurt you, whether they mean it or not. We all say stupid things and do stupid things, especially us of the male species, to our female counterparts, who generally tend to have more of a sensitive heart. But really, all our hearts are the same. It's just we men have been taught not to be vulnerable, which is why you don't see as many men sometimes worshiping and raising their hands and opening their heart up to God, which we're going to get into in a second. It's putting your heart out there, open for all. It's being real with who you are. Vulnerability, and this comes from a woman named Brené Brown. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. Her. She is world renowned for dealing with issues of vulnerability and shame, a researcher, a scientist, psychologist who deals with this and done a lot of research about these things. She says, vulnerability is about sharing your feelings and experiences with people who have earned the right to hear them. Being vulnerable and open is mutual. Remember that. It's mutual and an integral part of the trust-building process. Being mutual is extremely important. Why? Because I can be vulnerable with God and the things of God because God is vulnerable with me. See, God opened up his heart and revealed his heart to me, and then he's taken the things of his heart and given them to me. See, he's already trusting me with the things of his heart. You don't think God trusts us with his Holy Spirit? That comes right from the heart of God. Holy Spirit comes right from the heart of God. It's the essence of who God is. His Spirit in us. The Spirit that was in Christ, who was so tuned to the Father God's heart, is in me. He already revealed himself to me. So the mutual part is already begun by God, initiated by God. And he's trusting us with his Spirit. Now I am vulnerable by receiving his Spirit and reciprocating it to the way he wants me to use it with the things of this world. See, here's a couple of things God showed me this week as I was praying over this. Being vulnerable makes room for God in my heart. Let me say that again. Being vulnerable makes room in my heart for God. What do I mean by that? When I am vulnerable, that means I am removing an obstacle that was taking up space in my heart to make room for God's Spirit and God's presence. So I'm saying, God, my pride and my defenses have been up in this area of my heart. But now I am removing them and making room for you to come and bring healing and bring what you want to bring. You're bringing freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You're bringing that freedom to a place of my heart that has been clogged up, locked up, tied down, chained up, and no one's been in there before. I'm afraid to even go in there because it might bring up old wounds. But Lord, I'm unchaining them, I'm unlocking it, I'm taking a sledgehammer to it, I'm removing that boulder, I'm taking a chainsaw, you know, I'm getting a mega mountain drill to break through that rock. I'm doing what it takes, God, and I'm making room for you to heal my heart, to strengthen my heart so that words and things that I was fearful of that used to bring hurt will no longer cause me hurt. Let me say that again. I'm making room in my heart with my faith in you for you to come heal my heart and give it strength in faith and the Spirit and love of God so that the things, the people, and the words that used to cause hurt in that area no longer will affect me even when they are present. And this is important because if I don't do that, they will always bother me. They will always be a thorn to my side. There will always be a weight on my back. And I will never fully enter into the destiny God has for me till I break free and break open my heart to the vulnerability of God, to trust Him. Here's the other thing. worship is all about being vulnerable. Worship is all about being vulnerable to God. Why? Because worship is submission. Worship is about submission, and that was a word that we got earlier. And this is tough for us guys to get, to say, here I am. I'm giving you all of me. I am submitting me to you. And what does Scripture teach us? Scripture teaches us that when we go to the altar of God, no one ever went to the altar of God in the Old Testament or the New Testament and laid something down as an offering or a sacrifice to God that walked away empty-handed. You went, you sacrificed, you received forgiveness. You went, you offered something, you received blessing. You can read that in the entire Bible. Just go through Deuteronomy, go through Leviticus, go through Book of Numbers, go through them, and you will see that. And there will never be a time that when I go to the altar of God, symbolically here or anywhere, and I lay flat on my face or flat on my heart's face and give God something, that I will not walk away with something more. When I give God my hurt, He brings His healing. When I give God my faithlessness and ask for more faith, like the Word of God says, he who doesn't have enough faith, let him ask. I walk away with more faith. If I lay God before God my fears, I walk away with His courage and strength. Never have I laid something, truly laid, and I'm not talking about, here you go, God, and let me hold on to it back. I'm talking about, here you go, God, I lay it before you. I'm trusting you with it, and I'm walking away new, being made new. And the Holy Spirit will come. His fire will come to the altar whenever there is a sacrifice. Holy fire comes down and burns the sacrifice, but it only comes when there is a sacrifice. You're not going to have a burning altar for no reason. But He wants to burn off those things. Last week, I'm going to just say this real quick. We sang a song called Burn in Me. And one of the lines of that song says, burn off the dross. Do you know what a dross is? Because I looked that up this week. It's in Ezekiel chapter 21. 20 or 21. The dross is when you take precious gems, gold, silver, and you're burning it to purify it, refine it in the fire, the dross is all the impurities that fall off as it's being purified. So when I take my heart and I trust the Lord in it and open it up and be vulnerable in worship to Him, He'll pour in His fire, and what'll burn off is the fear and insecurity that came along prior to being able to open up my heart. He'll burn off those impurities. Let me tell you, coming from a Baptist background, we sang songs. We did not worship. And even then, I was afraid to lift my voice. I'd be the one mumbling or just moving my mouth in the corner. Never would I do this. Never would I clap unless I'm in a room of 1,000 people, and even then I was a little insecure and self-conscious. Never would my heart and my mind connect to the heart and mind of Christ. Never would I be so open that I'd say, God, what do you want to do with me today? What am I going to trust you in doing that may be unusual, that may be not what I'm used to, but you're not going to cause me harm. Even if I look foolish, my heart's strong enough because you are here and you're leading me. And all I have to do is be faithful. All I have to do is be faithful. Worship is all about being vulnerable. Anything we do as we move in the power of the Holy Spirit is about being vulnerable. It's saying, Lord, I trust you here. I trust you. I'm opening this up to you no matter what has happened before. My wife shared a verse this morning in prayer in Isaiah. You know, instead of shame, you will get double portion of blessing. Vulnerability says you'll be filled with shame if you do it. That's what the mind tells the body and the heart. But the Word of God and the Spirit of God says, trust me. Trust me. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. All your mind. All your soul. All your strength. All. Trust me. I'm going to give you Mike's version of it. Trust the Lord with your love and love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. Trust me with your love. Trust me here because I can do the healing if you do that. I can take you to a place you can't go on your own. I can create a new space, an empty space in your heart that's been filled with junk from life, from not trusting, from trusting your heart to the wrong people who haven't earned it. See, if we want to look at a couple of examples of being vulnerable, look at God Himself. Think about this for a second. You want to talk about vulnerability. The Lord of all creation, God of the universe, who sits on a throne in heaven, who with a breath creates wind, with a blink lightning shall flash, with a snap of the finger the continents parted and the seas were created, was the most vulnerable person that ever had been. Isaiah 52:13 through 15 says this, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, just as many were astonished at you. But his visage was marred more than any man. In other words, his legacy, his body, his life, everything about him is going to be marred and desecrated more than any other man. And his form more than the sons of men. What do we know about Jesus? He was beaten, put down, ridiculed. I don't need to go on. You guys know the story. So shall he sprinkle many nations, or startle many nations is another word for sprinkle. Here, kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what he had not been told them, they shall see. And when they had not what they had not heard, they shall consider. In other words, so remember when Jesus was before Pilate, he didn't respond. When Pilate was questioning him, what he doesn't say, they're eventually going to get. And what he didn't do right there and then, they'll eventually see. Isaiah 53, 1 through 3, Who believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a what? Tender plant. The God of the universe growing up as a tender plant. Did you ever think of that for a second? The God of the universe, one of his characteristics is he's like a tender plant. We all know what a tender plant is, right? You can go to that tender plant and pick it right up, break it right up. And his body was beaten. And he was frail to no end, but his heart never quit for the purpose, for the love that his Father in heaven had. He shall grow up as a temple plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Wait a minute. You're telling me the glorious God of heaven, the majestic King of Kings, the one that angels and archangels sing over, worthy is the Lamb, worship God, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah, the heavenly choruses are singing out his glory. He's going to be so beaten and scarred, no one's going to recognize him. You want to talk about being vulnerable? Think about that for a second and how strong his heart had to have been as the man Christ. But his love for the purpose of God. To the very end, he never gave up. We are not vulnerable because we're afraid of the hurt that comes through being rejected and attacked for what we feel or say. But if we are to be imitators of Christ, he is our perfect example of being vulnerable, of trusting. He had to trust the heart of the Father God and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in him, then no matter what happens, he can take it. And his heart will be guarded. See, sometimes it's easier to get physical pain than heart pain. Because the heart wounds take a little bit longer to heal sometimes than the physical wounds. And unfortunately, many of us will live the rest of our lives with heart wounds because we're not letting God in them. We're afraid because we're equating God to those that hurt us or the things that hurt us. But what did Jesus say those last hours before he was captured? Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And if there was a chance this cup be taken from me, take it. But I know there isn't. And then he said at the cross, it is finished. It is finished. In other words, those three words, it is finished, have more weight to them than we realize. That the perfect will of heaven has been accomplished here on earth. That my heart now can fully be healed and be trusting in the God of heaven and earth and what he has done. This is the heart of God. I want to ask right now a couple of the kids to come forward. I talked to them beforehand that I would be doing this. You know, last week something awesome happened. If Chrissy and Michelle and Tori and Chris, if you want to come on up, just stand over here with me for a second. See, last week what you saw was kids just huddled in a prayer circle over here. But something really big happened last week. Very powerful. We knew prior to the service, the anointing of God was in this place and it was going to be on the kids. We prayed over them and God touched many of them that were there. We also knew it was going to filter into the service. But each one of them had to be willing to let him do what he wanted to do. They needed to trust God with being vulnerable. I even asked a couple of the kids during the time of prayer, because see, this is a sign of defensiveness, not being vulnerable. That in faith, open up their arms and just trust. And be vulnerable. Trust God. And what happened was, as each one was trusting the Holy Spirit, they took a massive step of faith. And they began to prophesy over each other, not just pray, but prophesy over each other. This is what many of us were not aware of, and I was not aware of it till afterwards. I knew they were praying and moving, and the Holy Spirit was on there. But I want them to share a little bit, real briefly, not long, because I don't want to embarrass them either, but just to share briefly, as they feel comfortable, what happened then. Can we turn on the red mic, please? Okay.
I feel like
it's on.
I feel like God was telling me to be a leader and to be myself, and that He will always be there.
Amen. Amen.
I felt a stirring in my stomach, and I didn't really know how to like kind of speak it out, but then I kind of just like opened my mouth. Because, like, usually when I prophesy over people, it's, I know what I'm going to say, well, sort of. Like, I have an idea of it. But that time I, like, just didn't. But I just kind of opened my mouth and trusted Him, and it came out.
Amen. Thank you.
It was definitely a new experience for me. And it was a little scary, and it can make you feel uncomfortable. But it was, with those experiences, is the chances you get to grow. So I look forward to more experiences like that.
Amen.
Just to mention, I didn't want to speak, but He made me. When I was going through it, I didn't know what to say, so I just kind of like let go and like I took that step. So I feel like I'm gonna have more. We all are gonna have more like steps further on, like down the path, like God wants us to. But it was just kind of like breaking, taking a brick from that wall that we had to go through.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You can go back. Thank you, guys. That wasn't easy, was it? That wasn't easy for them to be vulnerable now to you. Did take a little bit of a coaxing in some cases. But thank you, guys. But it also took a lot of trust in the Holy Spirit last week to let God speak through them. Not just speak because I'm on the spot, but to truly speak into the lives of those around them. This is what He's trusting us to do. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Keep your heart. Protect your heart. Who's the best protector of our heart? God. We're to guard our hearts. Who better to guard our heart than the Holy Spirit? God is a strong tower. He's a mighty fortress. You want to list the names of who He is, you can find out all those adjectives of what kind of protector He is. Psalm 73:26 says this, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." He will give me the strength. Even when my heart is weak and I'm fearful to let go, if I am doing it not because I'm being made to by man, but because I'm opening and trusting the God who already is trusting me, my heart will be made stronger. Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." That's exactly what these young men and women just did. They said, "Lord, I'm opening my heart to you. I'm opening my mind to you. I'm trusting you, and even what comes out of my mouth is not going to be from me." Trusting and observing your ways. I challenge you this morning, and I'm asking you this morning because I believe it's what God wants in our hearts. Will you go deeper with Him? Will you make the choice to be vulnerable to God? See, we cover it up with excuses. We cover up with fear. We cover up with other substances or things that occupy our time. We cover it up by doing things. I used to be the kind of person that would do in order to avoid being intimate. I know many, I see many of you shaking your heads. Yeah. I would do things so I wouldn't be in that position where I'm going, okay, I got to be intimate with God now, or I got to be in open-hearted with those around me through the Holy Spirit. So I would, oh, let me take out the garbage. Let me move these chairs or move tables, avoiding that place where God wants to pour himself from me and pour himself into me. But that's the safest place to be. That's what he wants. The fear of vulnerability is not knowing, will I be hurt and scarred or not? I overcome that fear by trusting the one who will never hurt me. Scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Right? I'm going to read you the full version and I'll stop here. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Why? Because you've stood tall for Christ. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. I was kidding. I mean, I got one more verse. Psalm 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretched out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Your right hand, remember what the right hand is. In Scripture, when you ever hear the words right hand of God, it's symbolic of God not just reaching out his hand, but the right hand is symbolic of God giving himself completely. It's the all-encompassing thing. When I lift up my right hand to God, I'm saying, Lord, I'm submitting all of me to you. So it's symbolic. Its meaning is the all of me. So when he says, I am giving you my right hand to protect you, that means he's giving all of himself to guard my heart and to protect my heart. So what I want to do right now, would you stand with me, please? Yeah, Lord, let's just close our eyes and go to that secret place in the tender place of our hearts. Yeah, Lord.